From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 29th day of December 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the Senior Grains Analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And then later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, the Chinese are trying 15 people in connection to the tainted milk scandal. That nation's government is also moving to ensure adequate fertilizer supplies will be available for the 2009 Chinese growing season. And a court in South Korea says importing U.S. beef is not against the Korean Constitution. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories later in the half hour, and then I'll bring you a few energy-saving tips to winterize your home. Hey, and don't forget, in 26 minutes, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Public Radio from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to Cooley at admworld.com.
In Chicago, on this Monday afternoon, futures finished like this. Nearby soft red winter wheat finished the March contract at $5.92, a settlement price down 7 1/4. May at 6.04 1/2, down 7 1/4. And July wheat at 6.15 3/4, down 7 1/4. March corn at 3.93 1/2, 18 3/4 lower. May at 4.04, down 18 1/2. And July at 4.14 1/4, down 18 1/4. September corn 4.24 1/4, down 18 1/4. December contract at 4.38 1/4, down 18 1/4. February crude oil at the related products at 38.58, 87 cents higher. January ethanol at $1.61 1/10. That's down 5 1/10 of a cent. And the heating oil futures at $1.28 2/10, down up 3 7/10 of a cent. From the soy complex, January beans at 9.38 1/2, down 13 1/4. March at 9.45 1/2, 11 lower. May at 9.57 1/4, down 10 1/4. And July at 9.68 1/2, down 10 1/4. November beans 9.74, down 5 1/2. January bean meal at 2.92 10, down 5.60. January oil at 32.21, down 61. December live cattle 85.97 1/2, 7 1/2 higher. January feeders at 93.45, up 62 1/2. And the Feb hogs at 59.15, up 20. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Futures are trading the March crude oil at 41.40, up 87 cents. February at ethanol at $1.61 4/10, up or rather down 5 3/10. Natural gas January futures at $6.09 6/10, up 27 cents. The RBOB gasoline 86 9/10, 2 1/2 cents higher. And January heating oil at $1.28 2/10 now, up 3 7/10. January propane at 57 7/10, unchanged and not trading. Gold futures at 874.60, up $4.20. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average currently stands at 83.98. That's just about 117 points lower on the day. The U.S. dollar at 80.71 is down 0.28 for the day. And the CRB index at 215.79 is up 0.51 on the afternoon. And the Goldman Sachs at 327.16 is up 9.16 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like from our own meteorologist, Daniel Pounder. He says this afternoon should remain mostly sunny, a little breezy. Highs today will range from 39 in the north to 54 in the south tonight. Daniel says partly cloudy skies. Lows will range from 22 in the north to 33 in the south. And tomorrow, in northern areas, increasing cloudiness, a chance of light snow and flurries late. Elsewhere, partly to mostly sunny, a bit windy. Highs will range tomorrow from 34 in the north to 56 in the south. The extended forecast says many rivers will remain at or above flood stage this week, but with limited precip the next 2 weeks, most rivers should fall back to normal levels within a few days. Temps will move to average to below average toward the end of this work week. No significant precip expected until very early in the next week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon. Time to check in on what happened with the futures markets. And here to help us do that today is Kurt Kimmel. He's the Senior Grains Analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Did you have a good Christmas break?
Boy, it was enjoyable and fulfilling in more ways than one. But glad to be back to work here to get in a regular groove.
Well, you know, good to be back to work, but you missed the good times in the green on the board last week and brought us back a lot of red today. What happened?
Well, we saw some enthusiasm overnight early this morning of higher energy, lower dollar values, and concerns in the southern hemisphere. But as we got into the meat of the trade after the first hour, we saw the crude oil back off. We saw the dollar firm up. Also, too, probably the most important key is we saw a huge amount of cash movement pick up across the Midwest and ran into quite a bit of hedge selling pressure to sort of take advantage of those gains that we saw earlier in the day to put the market on the defensive. If you look at the momentum indicators and relative strength indexes, we did get a little overbought, and we were at some objectives some of the trade was looking for. So due to sort of back and fill here as we try to square away and close out the 2008 calendar, Todd.
So you're talking most of this up to hedge strategies on the elevators part then?
Well, producer selling. Guys have been tight-fisted here for the last couple months, waiting for a rally and starting to push the pencil, realizing that we're going to need some more cash flow needs to generate some dollars to pay some bills after the first of the year. So, it was cash-connected, golf basis broke 2 to 3 cents in corn and up to 8 to 12 cents in the beans. So we're seeing some pickup here as we start to see this cash come to town for a change.
Now, would you say that producers just like the price, or they need to get some things done with the taxes before the end of the year? Decided that it's an awfully nice day and they wanted to go ahead and move some corn. What was really behind it all?
All of the above. I think you pretty well touched just about everything there. It's a combination of events that came all together. We've had pretty miserable weather here. It's time to get something to move. Some anticipating that credit card bill coming after the first year also. Then just the logistics of it everyone I visit with, particularly, you know, lenders, elevator managers, and so forth, there's just a lot of grain that's been moved and it's going to have to be moved here as we move on into this early winter time frame. Also, too, just the fear or the uncertainty of the state of the economy. We're still looking at some bad news maybe after the first year here of corporate profits and some of the other consumer news coming out. And until we get the overall economy in solid feet, it's going to be awful hard to see a big bull demand-driven market to the upside until this fallout comes to a subside.
So something more, you think, than just position squaring before the end of the year, catching up on sales? There really is some thought here that with the price hike that we had last week in the commodity market, that this was a good place to make sales and that they're a little fearful that prices will go lower yet.
Well, that's the thing, is when you look at the great big picture, if somebody wants to email me one, I'll take a look at it, but I've not found a chart where we've had a rally to all-time highs, then broke for a couple months and came back and rallied sharply higher after that. Most bull markets or huge rallies are followed by some type of downward spiral tailing action before the market can regroup and take a challenge back to the upside. I think the producers, especially listening to your program, are a lot sharper than the average guy and realizes that with all the news around and the past history that if they've got cash grain to sell, they'll probably take advantage of this up market here and get those sales off here in the next week or two.
Yeah, well, let's go ahead and talk about the cash side a bit, and then maybe you can give me some good end of the year, I just want to trade and speculate type of trades on any account that you'd like to talk about.
Okay.
So go with the cash side first.
Well, the cash side, we've recommended here to move a one-third of remaining inventory that you have to market. We like moving the cash in a couple different spots here as we move higher, so we recommend moving a third. And if we go higher, we'll move it, you know, a little bit more as we go higher here.
Is that for corn or soybeans?
Corn
or both?
And beans, both.
Okay.
As far as the 09, visiting with guys, we feel that the new crop starting to get back up to some areas where it's starting to become a little bit attractive. The main thing I would encourage you to do is look at where you started selling last year, what your average price was last year, and where we are this year. Now, even though we're not as high as we want it to be, and we're probably a little low for break even for some producers, this area that we achieved today might not be a bad spot to start getting going on some 09. There's various different strategies you can use. And giving all your analysts a call here and picking their brain might not be a bad idea here over the next week or two in some type of marketing program. So we feel that as a producer, our number one job, and even as a risk manager, is basically to manage risk. And the market's offering us some opportunity here to do that on this rally. So we feel that we ought to start getting into the marketing process again here on this strength that we've seen.
Let's wrap up and switch from managing risk to just plain old taking risk. What would you do for speculative fun if you actually had money to spare?
On a short-term scale, viewing the market action today, we had hook reversals down in the beans and a outside down day in the corn. One could probably sell halfway back up to the overnight's high and risk a new high. Look for the market to drift lower for a few days on the short-term scale. From a longer-term scale, we feel that the play in the next 19 to 20 days will be in the natural gas futures. We feel that the natural gas is undervalued as we start to finish out the winter here, and that there's a play to the upside in the natural gas futures. And a little longer-term into 2009, we feel the interest rates are probably going to remain very, very competitive here. But as we get in the second half of 2009, we feel that the price of money is going to float the other way.
Okay. Anything else to add before I let you go?
Well, I hope everybody had an enjoyable holiday, and wish everyone a happy new year as we go through the week here.
You have a safe new year, too.
Very good.
Thanks much. That's Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, where he serves as their senior grains analyst. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report each and every Monday afternoon. You can hear what Kurt had to say again if you'd like on our website at willag.org. You know that. You can listen to it as an MP3 file or as a podcast. But if you tried our telephone service, it's a shortened version of the futures segments from the opening and the closing market report. The number is 217-333-3434. We post that at 10:30 and 3:15 daily. The telephone service from our ag programming at 217-333-3434. Dave Dickey's here now with today's Ag News.
In agricultural news, in Beijing, 9 people went on trial today in connection with China's tainted milk scandal. The first trials in the case began for 6 men on Friday. All 15 on trial have been charged with producing and selling melamine. The industrial chemical was added to raw milk because, like protein, it is high in nitrogen and can make protein levels appear higher. At least 6 babies died and 294,000 other children suffered kidney and urinary problems from drinking the baby formula made with the contaminated milk. A South Korea court has ruled that the country's government did not violate the Constitution when it allowed the resumption of U.S. beef imports. South Korea's opposition parties and thousands of people petitioned the Constitutional Court to try to block U.S. beef from entering the country by claiming the notice violated their constitutional rights. The 9-member court rejected the petition, saying that measures in the legal notice intended to protect consumer safety could not be ruled insufficient. The Chinese government has pledged to take action to guarantee adequate fertilizer supplies for domestic farmers. The government will ensure that fertilizer reserves during non-planting seasons won't fall below 20% of the fertilizer needed for spring planting. China will also increase potash exploration and monitor the prices of potash imports. And Russian officials say they will not issue import permits for U.S. poultry for 2009 because they have no guarantees the birds are not treated with solutions containing chlorine. Russia's safety arm says today that it has not received from the U.S. Food and Safety Inspection Service the required list of companies treating poultry with solutions containing chlorine in acceptable amounts. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL Public Radio for the Farming World. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website. The address is willag.org. There you'll be able to find the daily agricultural programming, subscribe to our weekend newsletter, or to one of our podcasts. It's all at willag.org. And while you're there, make sure you hit the schedule or calendar tab, and you can find out when all those upcoming events that either Dave or I will be hosting might be, including the Corn and Soybean Classics. That's the first and second full weeks of January, and a whole bunch of the Outlook meetings and panels that are scheduled for January, February, and March. It's all right there on the schedule or calendar tab at willag.org. Now up next, you know the experts at the University of Illinois are reminding homeowners there are two ways to conserve energy: management and investment. I'll have more from the Agricultural College right here on this campus. You can save money this winter on your home heating bill in a couple of different ways. University of Illinois Extension engineer Ted Funk says the adjustments fall into two categories: management and investment.
And the way I like to think of it is those two can be, you can work those together, but if, for instance, there are some small things that you can do in managing what you have. You've often heard about turning the thermostat down. The more you cut the inside temperature, you can cut your heating cost by a couple percent per degree that you turn everything down, turn the house thermostat down. So that's an example of management. And, of course, you can invest in a programmable thermostat so that you can turn the temperature down more when you leave the house. You can turn it down at night when you're asleep. Some people like to sleep in a cooler environment anyway, and then crank it back up when the family is active.
Another management example is calibrating the water heater. Funk says the dishwasher water temperature is the upper limit that should be considered.
You can run water out of a hot water faucet and put a thermometer underneath it and check it. If you don't have a dishwasher, 120 degrees is probably plenty warm enough. But if you run your hot water heater at too high a setting, you're just losing through standby losses, especially if that water heater is sitting down in the garage or an unconditioned space. So that would be another example of managing what you have, and it doesn't really cost anything as far as out-of-pocket expense.
On the investment side, Funk says it's best to make sure the house is sufficiently insulated. For a large portion of the Midwest, he suggests attic insulation at the R38 level. That's about 12 inches of insulation. Sidewalls should be insulated too. And for older homes, Funk says it's fairly inexpensive to top off the blown-in insulation that's likely settled already in the walls. Crawl spaces can be insulated as well. You must be careful here. If the crawl space is filled with water pipes, it's okay to insulate the outer walls, but not underneath the floorboards. You need the heat to keep the pipes from freezing. Whatever you do in the crawl space, though, Funk cautions it's necessary to have a vapor guard, 6mm plastic on the ground. Otherwise, there is a risk of moisture coming up out of the ground and creating an environment where molds and mildews can thrive. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. It's a Monday afternoon. Time to check in on the cash grain markets, and the folks at the Andersons now join us. Brian Stark is on the line with us. Good afternoon to you, Brian.
Good afternoon, Todd.
I hear congratulations are in order that facility is now yours, and you're the manager.
Yeah, it's quite a change, but I think most people will come to know the same good customer service we've offered when Larry Wood was in charge before he took early retirement. Mm-hmm. So I think we're looking forward to the challenges and exciting times ahead for us.
Well, don't get too stressed out. We'd like to talk to you each and every Monday or as many times as we can.
We'll continue to do that as well.
Hey, you know, since you're the new manager, maybe we haven't done this for a while, you could tell folks what your background is just a bit.
Well, I grew up in Ford and Iroquois County, about 60 miles north of Champaign. Did my schooling, both bachelor's and master's degree, down at the University of Illinois in the College of ACES. Worked for Bunge North America for about 4 years before coming over to Champaign. Been here about 3 years. So, been in the grain business about 7 years. Grew up on a family farm, got a big, strong agricultural background, so fit in well, and I know a lot of the customers in the area, so it's been a good niche for me.
All right. As an alum of the University College of ACES, we're going to depend on you a lot then.
You betcha.
All right. To represent well, my friend.
So, I will.
So tell me about the markets today.
Well, I think the main driver today, we saw a little bit of follow-through from the big day on Friday, some concern in South America. America obviously is the big driver, being dry in Argentina and Paraguay and Brazil and the watch there, and rains maybe not materializing this week as they had hoped. Kind of gave up towards the back end of the trading day, and I think most guys can point to the calendar, and I think you're going to see some year-end profit taking from the funds who've rallied corn almost a dollar in 3 weeks. So I think the market's getting a little tired and due for a break. I don't think necessarily we've seen the end of this. I think there's still some concern fundamentally in the bean market that's going to probably lead the charge for the time being, and corn's a natural follower. And once we get into the new year here at the end of the week, beginning of next, we'll start to see where that fund money starts to flow again going into 2009.
And finally, what are your bids for the day?
378 cash corn and soybeans tonight. We are 928.
Thanks much.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Brian Stark. He is the new manager out at the Andersons facility right here in Champaign County. Somebody from that office joins us on the Closing Mark Report each and every Monday afternoon. In just a couple minutes, we'll talk with Mark Russo up at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, where he's looking out from the 22nd floor of the Boeing building on what I suppose there is just a beautiful afternoon with great big blue skies. Make sure you stay for that. The news is next. Or we'll hear from, well, whatever else is on one of these radio stations that you're listening to. I'm Todd Gleason.
It's Pepper Pot Day, as well as National Chocolate Again Day. In this day in agricultural history in 1766, Charles McIntosh was born. A Scottish chemist, he was the inventor of rubberized waterproof clothing. He also patented a steel-making process. In 1800, Charles Goodyear was born. An American inventor, he baked rubber mixed with sulfur, a process that created vulcanized rubber. previously, rubber was of limited use since it froze hard in the winter and was sticky in the summer. After years of persistent experimentation, Goodyear created a tough, cured compound able to withstand heat and stress. Sadly, though, he was a poor businessman, and he never profited from his invention. In 1837, a threshing machine powered by a horse on a treadmill was patented in Winthrop, Maine, by Hiram A. and John A. Pitts. In 1954, William Marion Burton died, an American chemist. He devised the first thermal cracking process that more than doubled gasoline yield from crude oil by using high heat and pressure. And in 1997, fear of the bird flu led Hong Kong to order its entire population of chickens to be destroyed. Almost 1.5 million birds were culled after Hong Kong governmental officials discovered the H5N1 virus at two separate sites. And that's this day in agricultural history.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon. Time to check in on the agricultural weather forecast. I told you Mark Russo would join us, but, well, there's somebody else there on the 22nd floor of the Boeing Building 2, and that is John Davis. He's with us this afternoon. John, you screwed me up today. How you doing?
Happy New Year, Todd.
Happy New Year. Well, that's all right. We'll go with the flow. It's good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you.
Well, I haven't talked to you for a while. How's the view from up there today?
Absolutely gorgeous. You can see forever.
Is it going to stay that way?
Well, for a couple of days it will, yeah. So a beautiful couple of days coming up.
Well, tell me about them.
Well, I mean, pretty much here this week, we're done with the real bitter cold that we've had periodically moving into the Midwest over the past 2 or 3 weeks. I guess we're also done, on the other hand, with the record warmth that surged in late last week and over the Christmas holiday weekend. And so kind of a bit more of a normal type scenario here coming up. Really no signs of any big storm systems on tap coming through the Midwest, so a little bit quieter of a period coming up, unlike recent time, which has been anything but quiet.
Boy, it has not been quiet. There have been one ice storm after another. They piled the snow on up north. It's nice to have a break if you look further out. Do you see any more of that coming our way?
Well, at this stage of the game, no. There's really no sign of any kind of big-time major Arctic intrusions coming into the nation's midsection, and also really no sign of any kind of truly big storm. So looks like the quieter weather that we're going to begin the new year with, that's going to stay with us into the early portion of January.
Turn your attention to South America. Tell me how the crops are faring in Argentina and Brazil.
We are seeing problems across both southern Brazil and Argentina, and the problems involve both lack of rainfall and lack of rainfall in the foreseeable future, and also periodic heat moving into both areas. So kind of getting into a critical time frame here, both in Brazil and in Argentina, and with a drier than normal pattern and periodic heat, that is an area to watch on a worldwide basis. And if this does continue into the yield-sensitive period coming up later on in January and more so in Feb, then certainly we will be looking at some crop problems across South America.
Your forecast for the next week or so down there says what?
Says that southern Brazil and Argentina will be distinctly on the dry side with no appreciable rainfall and a couple episodes of heat.
Any place else around the globe with crops that we need to check in on at this time?
Well, I think at this stage of the game, the winter wheat across the nation's midsection does need to be watched, mainly because we lost our snow cover across much of the Midwest over the past 5 or 6 days. No signs of any kind of major Arctic burst coming in, but that's always something that needs to be watched when you've lost your protective snow cover.
All right, we'll let you go, and you have a great new year, okay?
Happy New Year, Todd.
All right, thanks much. That's Mark Russo. That's John Davis. He's with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. He joins us from his office up on the 22nd floor of the Boeing Building. On this Monday afternoon, you've been listening to the Closing Market Report. If you'd like to hear what John had to say again, you can do that on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. We post entire shows there. You can download them directly from the website as an MP3 file. Listen to the pieces if you'd like from that website, or sign up in iTunes or as a podcast if one of your kids or you know how to run an iPod or a podcast. You can sign up right there on the website and have them delivered to your computer automatically for your listening pleasure 24 hours a day. You have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.